Gentlemen, so someone just reminded me actually that it is that it's almost Rosh Hashanah, and because it's almost Rosh Hashanah, so the question is, should we have a shiur over the next 2 days? Today we're still doing Shabbos, but should we have a shiur over the next few days about Rosh Hashanah? And if so, what topics in Rosh Hashanah should we discuss? So before we start running Shabbos, just anyone interested in the shiur this week on Rosh Hashanah? Wednesday, Thursday? Thumbs up, is that thumb up, Ben? Or that's like they used to be Siskel and Ebert, right? You know, like one thumb, two thumbs?
Option Zoom.
Okay. The people, this one shiur, you're interested in Rosh Hashanah? Half, chatzi. We can do one day of Rosh Hashanah, not two. Fine. Okay. Anyone else interested? Ben, is that a yes or a no? Okay. Ari? So far, we have three out of the six who are present, which means I guess I'm not involved. Okay, so I think it makes sense actually to have one shiur in Rosh Hashanah.
Do I get 2 votes because I'm on Zoom and in person?
Do you get 2 votes because you're in Zoom and in person? Uh-huh. Do you have a split personality? but I think it makes sense to do a shiur in Rosh Hashanah. But people want a more involved technical shiur, going through aspects of Tekiyas Shofar, or would people prefer a kind of a lighter topic about Simanim on Rosh Hashanah, about like eating, you know, the dates, etc.? Do people have a preference? Is this one left up to me? Or would people like to discuss tshuva, everyone's favorite topic ever? Tshuva. Okay. People like tshuva.
I feel like everyone would be really good
most of them. Tshuva's like the hardest one, but yeah, we could talk about it. Okay. So it sounds like on Thursday, God willing, we'll have a shiur about tshuva. What I'd like to do is tomorrow complete the Gemara until the Mishnah, which means that there's a little bit left on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. We already did the rest of Lamed Ches Amud Beis until the Mishnah. We did HaChazara. I want to talk tomorrow, and we'll discuss it briefly today as well. I want to talk tomorrow about Avar V'Shiha, etc. I'll, God willing, send out some additional sources to look at for tomorrow. And let's now resume today's topic of Judaism. Okay, gentlemen, if you remember, the Gemara on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis going over to Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara has a question. Shachach Kedera Gabe Kiro Bishlo B'Shabbos. If a person forgets a pot on the uncovered fire and the pot gets cooked over Shabbos, so what is the halacha? That's the question that the Gemara raised. And we know that there's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos about how we interpret this question. Rashi said that the question is, Aliba man da asar. Jake had a creative reading on Rashi, but sometimes creativity just is wrong. So Aliba man da asar, according to Rashi, means that we are not following the position of Hananya. According to Rashi, the question in the Gemara is, if you hold a Hananya, for sure it's permitted, there's nothing to discuss. Our entire question, says Rashi, is theoretical, because practically speaking, we hold like Hananya. But theoretically, we want to know what would be the halacha. That's Judaism, according to Rashi. Tosfos, however, takes a different approach. Tosfos understands that the question of the Gemara is both according to the Chachamim and according to Hananya, because we are talking about a scenario where the food is not yet one-third cooked. The food is somewhat cooked, not yet one-third cooked. And yesterday we presented two possibilities as to how we can explain this machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. One possibility that we presented is that Rashi and Tosfos are disagreeing in light of what we mentioned a few times. Tosfos holds that we follow Hananya as a matter of conviction. Tosfos is convinced, like his expression is over here and on Lamed Zayin, etc., Kaimalanka Hananya, we paskin, no question, Hananya is who the halacha follows. Rashi, however, is not convinced that we paskin like Hananya. Rashi's expression is Ad Hananya Samchinon, we rely on Hananya. Because according to Rashi, there is no absolute halacha like Hananya, so that gives Rashi the leeway to interpret our Gemara against Hananya. However, for Tosfos, that we follow Hananya absolutely, it's a matter of conviction, so therefore Tosfos says that we have to interpret our Gemara based on Hananya. That is one suggestion that we had yesterday. We also had a slightly different suggestion yesterday, which is that Rashi and Tosfos are disagreeing in light of what they taught us on Lamed Vav Amid Beis, meaning there is a question as to what is the halacha if food is already cooked 1/3 of the way. Are you allowed to further cook it on Shabbos? Do I apply the rule of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal by food that is cooked K'maychol Ben Shrusai? And we noted that there's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba. The Magid Mishnah in Perek Tes Halacha Gimel quotes the Rashba that once food is cooked K'maychol Ben Shrusai, we say Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. However, the Rambam himself holds that we only say Ein Bishal Achar Bishal when food is fully cooked. If food is cooked K'maychol Ben Shrusai, we assume that the halacha will tell us that there is cooking on such food. That is the Rambam's Shita against the Rashba. The Rashba notes over here in our Gemara that since our Gemara uses the expression Shachach Kedera Gavekira Ubishla B'Shabbos, that you are cooking the food on Shabbos. Cooking? How am I cooking the food? If the food is cooked 1/3 of the way, so anything I do afterwards is not cooking. It's not cooking because once it's Higia L'Maychol Ben Shrusai, so therefore, Ein Bishal Achar Bishal. This, according to the Rashba, is the reason why we have to say that we are talking about a scenario where the food has not yet reached Maychol Ben Shrusai. Because if it would have reached Maychol Ben Shrusai, so the expression Ubishla is meaningless. That is the way the Rashba understood. If that's the case, so Rashi, as it appears in front of us, right, Rashi, the way we have it in our Gemara, Rashi is going to say, no. We do not apply the rule of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal until such time as the food is fully cooked. So if the food is 1/3 of the way cooked, I could still use the expression Ubishla, because according to Rashi, right, there is going to be Bishal on food that is, there is full-fledged Bishal on food that is Higia L'Maychol Ben Shrusai. If the food is 1/3 cooked and then you cook it all the way, there is full-fledged Bishal. That is what we presented. And we also said a few creative interpretations within that approach, like Nady suggested yesterday, etc. Right? We quoted something from Michal Forschlager. You sent out on the Share WhatsApp group an interesting article about him. He was really a fascinating man. But that's what we are, that's what we did yesterday. I'd like to present a third suggestion as to how we can explain this dispute between Rashi and Tosfos. But in order to present this third suggestion, we have to do the next Tosfos. Right? The Tosfos Diba Meso Avahai Deloka Oven Maisa B'Mezid Nami Yochal or Ye Achel. Right? If you remember, the Gemara that if one cooks on Shabbos, Hamavash or B'Shabbos, B'Shogeg Yochal B'Mezid Lo Yochal. If you cook on Shabbos, you can eat the food if you do it inadvertently. However, if you do it deliberately, b'mezid, so lo yochal, then you can't eat the food. That's what the Gemara quotes. However, lo shna, that then is only true with respect to actual cooking on Shabbos. If a person leaves food on an open fire from before Shabbos, so that is going to be lo shna. There's no distinction between shogeg and mezid. And the Gemara had a dispute. When I say there's no distinction between shogeg and mezid, does that mean that they're both permitted? Does that mean that they're both forbidden? By shechiya, I don't distinguish between shogeg and mezid. Does it mean that they are both forbidden because I am worried that you're going to usili arume, you're going to kind of try to cheat? Or do I say no? They are both forbidden. Do I say they're both forbidden because asil arume? Or do I assume that they're both permitted because lo kaven maisa? Because with shehiya, you did not do any action. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Now let's look at Tosfos. Avahai lo kaven maisa. Again, the Gemara has a suggestion that because by shehiya you didn't do an action, So therefore, even b'mezid, you could eat it. So Tosas asks a question. Tema, right? Tosas asks that the Gemara in the first perek tells us that the food is going to be usar on Matzai Shabbos. Lo tamale isha kedera asasios, you shouldn't fill the pot with some sort of beans. And if you did so, it's usar Matzai Shabbos. Why is it usar Matzai Shabbos? Right? Didn't we just say in our Gemara that by Shehiyah, if you leave the food on the fire from before Shabbos, so it's going to be permitted, even b'mezid. So how can the Gemara in Yud Ches Amud Beis say that it is forbidden? That's the question that Tosas asks. So Tosas answers, yeah, the Gemara could have asked this question, but didn't. No? That's Tosas' suggestion. B'lav hoki parach shapir. Right, we knock this opinion out anyway. So yeah, you have another source against this opinion. Big whoop. Right? Who cares? Right? We already reject this opinion, so no need to bring up an additional source. That is Tosas' approach. Comes along a number of acharonim. The Rashash has this, the Pnei Yehoshua has this, the Sfas Emes has this. I believe I sent you to the Rashash just. Rashash was a fascinating man. There is a library in Vilna called the Strashun Library, which was originated by the Rashash. According to the Hasidim, the Rashash did not actually know how to learn, and the only reason why they put him in the back of the Gemara is because he had a large library and gave a lot of money. Cynicism was not born in the 20th century. I'll say it like that. So, or the 21st century. So the Rashash says, you know what? You're misunderstanding over here. There are two different cases of shachach kedera agabe kira. What does it mean that I forgot the pot? We could say that I forgot the pot in the sense of that I put the pot there deliberately before Shabbos, but I intended on removing the pot before Shabbos began. So let's say 5 p.m., you take a pot, you leave it on the fire, and you intend to remove that pot before Shabbos begins. But then you forget. So that is called shachach kedera agabe kira b'Shabbos. That's one approach. Another approach of shachach kedera agabe kira b'Shabbos is not that I leave the pot there and I intended to remove it and I forgot to remove it, but I forgot that you're not supposed to leave a pot there before Shabbos. No? There are two possibilities of understanding what it means that you forgot. Did I forget the pot in the sense of that I forgot that it's forbidden to leave a pot on the uncovered fire before Shabbos? Or did I know the halacha that I'm not allowed to leave a pot on the uncovered fire, but I planned on removing it, and then I forgot in a practical sort of way. You know, it's Erev Shabbos, you're busy, right? You forgot to remove the pot. So which one is our Gemara addressing? So the Rashash understands that we can answer Tosas' question in this way. Perhaps there's a difference between the case on the Gemara and Daf Yud Ches, where the Gemara says it's forbidden, right? Well, tamale isha kedera asasios, a woman should not fill up a pot and leave it there, and if you did it, it's forbidden. And Tosas asks a question, what do you mean? Our Gemara says it's permitted, because lo kav naisa. Says the Rashash, that I could answer Tosas' question, because I could say that the Gemara on Daf Yud Ches is talking about someone who forgets the halacha. In that case, we view it like the person actively left the pot on the fire, because the person puts the pot down in order to leave it there. It's more active than the other case when someone leaves the pot there and the avera that they did is just a passive avera in the sense of forgetting to remove the pot. The Rashash explains that our Gemara is talking about the scenario where you plan on removing the pot and then you forget to remove the pot. And in that case, the Gemara says, that's loka aved maisa. In that case, my avera is entirely in the mind. And because my avera is entirely in the mind, so that's why it's permitted. However, the Gemara on Daf Yud Ches is talking about a situation where someone forgets the halacha. Someone forgets the halacha. That's an interesting suggestion by the Rashash, no? To some extent, if I forget the halacha, you cannot say that I am loka aved maisa. You cannot say that I am not doing something active because I forgot the halacha. I put the pot there. I actively violated an avera, right? Yeah, I did it in a forgetful way. I forgot the halacha, but I was active when I did the avera. The avera was done Erev Shabbos when I placed the pot. So that is an interesting comment of the Rashash. So far, so good, gentlemen? Jake?
I mean, I don't know if this is the direction we're going, but the Rashash clearly can't work with the Tosos, right?
Okay. So, Jake is already getting to my next argument. Jake said, let me quote you verbatim, the Rashash cannot be working with Tosos. Absolutely. Because the Rashash is giving another answer to Tosos' question. Tosos has a question. Right? Tosis doesn't answer his question. The Rashash says, I have an answer to Tosis's question. Good?
Right. But
now.
The way it goes around the Gemara is clear.
Slowly?
When the way it goes around the Gemara, it's obvious why you couldn't give the Rashash the answer.
No. Elaborate.
Because the food is going to be raw on the fire according to Tosis when Shabbos comes in. So what's the, why is somebody saying they're planning to take it off before Shabbos? It's going to be either completely raw
So let me kind of say the point that you're making. I just will use slightly different words than you're saying. Based on this, we can explain Rashi. Rashi says that our Gemara is going according to the opinion that does not hold like Hananya. Our Gemara that says if you forget a pot, so we're not going according to Hananya. According to Hananya, it would certainly be permitted. Why? Because the case cannot be the way Tosos set it up. Tosos sets up the case that we're talking about food that is partially cooked, but not cooked all the way. And you forget to leave, you forget to, Tosos says the case is food that did not yet reach Maichol Ben Drusoi. Well, if the Rashash is correct, that the scenario is, I put food on the fire, and I plan on removing that food from the fire before Shabbos, it's impossible that the case is that the food has not yet reached Maichol Ben Drusoi. Because if the food has not yet reached Maichol Ben Drusoi, so then, what do you mean you're planning on removing that pot before Shabbos? The food is not Maichol. No one in their right mind would ever remove a pot, would ever think about removing a pot that has not higi ala Maichol Ben Drusoi. Speak louder, I'm sorry?
Who removes the pot when it does reach Maichol Ben Drusoi? Who removes the pot when it's like,
you know, no one would remove a pot.
Yeah, but who removes it even when it is Maichol Ben Drusoi?
So if it is Maichol Ben Drusoi, but what Yoni Zolti is asking is that if it is Maichol Ben Drusoi, who removes the pot? And I'll tell you who. Let's say I have guests coming over, and I don't want to be the embarrassed person who has absolutely no food to serve the guests. I'd rather serve the guests undercooked food that's edible than not have any food at all. Right? Sometimes you'll give food that is edible but not great. That's the situation. Once the food is higiel amaychol ben drusai, you could argue that the person intended on removing the food before Shabbos. It's possible. Maybe not so likely, but it's possible. But no one would ever have intention to remove the pot before Shabbos if the food is not yet higiel amaychol ben drusai. So the suggestion I saw, again, I have this cheating book by my makom in the Beis Medrash called the Minchas Ariel, cheating book in the sense of he quotes a lot of sources and he makes his own insights. So in the Minchas Ariel over here, he comments that we know that Tosus does not hold like the Rashash. Right? Like Jake pointed out. Tosis can't hold like the Rashash. But Rashi can hold like the Rashash. So the situation is, I plan on removing a pot from before Shabbos. Right? That's the situation. But that is impossible if the food is not yet Higiel Amachu Ben Drusoi. So therefore, Rashi says, okay, the food is Higiel Amachu Ben Drusoi, and therefore our Gemara is against Fananya. Right? That's basically the razzle-dazzle piece of Torah. Right, that's a Rabbi Sabalovsky word. No, he likes the word razzle dazzle. That's like a razzle dazzle piece of Torah that we can that we could say in defense or in explanation of this machlokas between Rashi and Tosis. Good, gentlemen. Now, gentlemen, I want to talk about the next sugya that comes up, or the sugya that comes up over here, which is the halacha of someone who cooks on Shabbos, hamivashel b'Shabbos. So what's the halacha? So we have over here, we quote from a Mishnah. Rashi says it's from a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Shrumo says that if you cook b'shogeg, you can eat the food. If you cook b'mezid, you cannot eat the food. Now, that's our Mishnah, or that's a Mishnah in Shrumo that's cited over here, all is grand. However, that is only one opinion. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. There are two other Tanoim in Meseches Chulin, Meseches Bava Kamma. I give you a source in Bava Kamma. It comes up in Gittin as well. I give you that source. There are two other opinions about this case. Rabbi Yehuda says that if one cooks on Shabbos, so you cannot eat that food on Shabbos. You can only eat the food Motzai Shabbos. Again, according to Rabbi Meir, if I cook on Shabbos, b'shogeg, the food is kosher. I once had this shaila. Someone knocks on my door Shabbos morning, and they say they just realized that what they did was wrong. I'm like, okay, what happened? So the guy says, it was like yeshiva guys. Pardon me, but sometimes yeshiva guys have the elevator doesn't reach the top floor. It happens occasionally. So the guy said that he had a bunch of his friends coming over for Shabbos lunch. He realized there wasn't enough barley in the chalent. So he took some barley and he put it into the chalent Friday night. Right? He takes raw barley. This is cooking on Shabbos. This takes real talent, gentlemen. No, this guy is actually cooking on Shabbos. Right? So I asked him, what were you thinking? So he tells me what he was thinking was that maybe cooking doesn't apply on the new item that you added to the pot. Since the majority of the pot, right, there was some barley and some beans and some potatoes in it beforehand. The majority was already cooked before Shabbos, so just adding a little bit might not be cooking. Okay, that's interesting, no? So this guy is mevashel v'Shabbos b'shogeg, right? He's making a mistake. He thinks that you're allowed to cook on Shabbos, but he thinks that barley isn't food. I'm not giving an editorial on that comment, but he thinks that barley isn't food and you're allowed to cook barley on Shabbos. So he puts it in. So what's the halacha? You cook on Shabbos b'shogeg. So Reb Meir says, eat it, right? Enjoy. Rabbi Yehuda says, if I cook on Shabbos b'shogeg, so I can't eat the food on Shabbos. I myself can eat the food only Motzai Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan HaSadler says that if I cook b'shogeg on Shabbos, so I can never eat the food. Motzai Shabbos, other people can eat the food. Right? Those are the three opinions. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan HaSadler. Those are the three opinions in the Gemara. We mentioned the case if I cook b'shogeg, because that was the shiloh that came to my door. Someone added barley to the cholent accidentally cooking. What about if you cook deliberately? So then everyone ups the ante one bit. Rabbi Meir says, if I cook b'mezid on Shabbos, so you cannot eat the food. There's a machlokas Rashi and the other Rishonim whether you could eat the food after Shabbos immediately or whether you have to wait the amount of time that it would take to prepare that food in order to eat it Motzai Shabbos. We might discuss that in 5 minutes. Reb Meir says, I cannot eat the food on Shabbos, but I can eat the food Matzoy Shabbos. Reb Yehuda says that I can never eat that food. I myself can never eat the food. Other people can eat the food if I cook it. B'mezid. You, someone else, you can eat the food. I cannot eat the food. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan HaSamler says if you cook b'mezid, the food is chazer. It becomes a piece of pig, and no one can eat the food. That's Rabbi Yochanan HaSamler. Okay, all is grand. Now, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan HaSamler. How does the halacha decide over here? Do I paskin like Rabbi Meir, like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yochanan HaSamler? So the Rif has an interesting comment. The Rif says that we do not follow Rabbi Yochanan HaSamler since there is a dispute between Ameimar and Rav Ashi, and therefore we go lahakel, we're lenient, and if we're lenient, we don't follow Rabbi Yochanan HaSamler. That's what the Rif says. And the Bahama'ar says, dear Rif, beloved Rif, what are you talking about? The Machlokas Ameimar and Rav Ashi has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan HaSamler, living or dead. Like, so the Bahama'ar says that the entire Rif just doesn't make sense. But no matter what it is, we don't pass like Rabbi Yochanan HaSamler. Okay, grand. That pass like Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Now, ordinarily, the halacha would be that you follow Rabbi Meir. Ordinary Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Ordinary halacha would give us the rule that when there's a dispute between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, we follow Rabbi Meir. However, in this case, I have an interesting twist, which is that the Gemara in Chulin tells me that when Rav would give a public lecture, he would follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. When he spoke to his students in private, he would follow the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Now, what does that mean? If Rav would in private say Rabbi Meir, in public say Rabbi Yehuda, so some Rishonim say we really follow Rabbi Meir because we really take Rav's word to his students seriously. Other Rishonim say, no, we don't follow Rabbi Meir. We follow Rabbi Yehuda. We follow what Rav said in public. Shulchan Aruch in Shin Yud Ches Se'if Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Shulchan Aruch Shin Yud Ches Se'if Aleph. Let me just pull it out and read to you. Oh, boy. Shulchan Aruch writes, Hamavash or B'Shabbos, if one cooks on Shabbos, then the Ramah adds, or someone does any other malacha on Shabbos. It's not only about cooking, but a person does a prohibited activity on Shabbos. If you do it b'mezid, osur lo la'olam u'lacherim mutar l'matzai Shabbos. If you do it deliberately, you can never benefit from it, and other people can benefit matzai Shabbos. If it's b'shogeg, if you do it inadvertently, so it's forbidden bo b'yom, etc. That means Shulchan Aruch follows Rabbi Yehuda. Right? That's clear in the Shulchan Aruch follows Rabbi Yehuda. Mishnah Berurah Se'if Katan Zayin quotes, yeah, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. However, the Vilna Gaon, right? The Mishnah Berurah is beautiful here. In the Gemara, there's a dispute about Shogeg and Mezid between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Shulchan Aruch follows Rabbi Yehuda because that's how the Rif and the Rambam and the Gaon and Paskin. But the Gra agrees that the Gra follows the opinion of Rabbi Meir. The opinion that B'mezid, it's usher to you until Matzai Shabbos. But on Shogeg, you can actually benefit from it right away. And B'makom Hatzorech Yesh Lismach Hazeh B'bishul B'Shogeg. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the Vilna Gaon says if one cooks accidentally, right? If one cooks accidentally, you're allowed to eat the food on Shabbos itself. Even the person who did the cooking can eat the food on Shabbos if you did it accidentally. That is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. The Gra paskens like Rabbi Meir, and the Mishnah Berurah says, if it's necessary, b'makom hatzorech, you can follow Rabbi Meir. Now, what is considered necessary? So they have these like Dirshu Mishnah Berurahs with like notes from everybody. In the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, they quote the Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that having cholent is not necessary. I was not aware of this when that guy knocked on my door Friday night. And I don't know, Shabbos morning, whatever it was, I forgot the case. And if he knocked my door Friday night, I think it was Friday night actually, he knocked on my door and he said, I just added the barley to the cholent. I was not aware that Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that the cholent is not necessary. And I said, listen, if it's necessary, the Mishnah Berurah says we follow Rabbi Meir, you cooked b'shogeg, you could eat the cholent on Shabbos. That's what I said. Thinking about it afterwards, I'm not sure why Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that cholent is not necessary on Shabbos, no? Especially in this case, where the guy has a bunch of guests coming over. If he doesn't have that cholent for the meal, he's got no food practically. Right? There is no food that he would have. Right? That's the main course, especially when you have yeshiva guys, no? A yeshiva guy could eat cholent and it could last until Thursday. Right? You make a big pot, you know what I'm talking about. Just keep on eating it, right? Right? Eli Fink is shaking his head. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. Now, okay. So the Mishnah Berurah says we follow Rabbi Meir in cases of necessity, and therefore if you cooked b'shogeg, so you can benefit from the food even on Shabbos. Based on this, by the way, I do not understand the entire conversation that goes on in the state of Israel. Let me explain. One of the biggest issues or the divides between Haredi Israeli society and non-Haredi Israeli society is, do you use electricity on Shabbos? Now, what do you mean by you don't use electricity, right? Did you suddenly become Amish, right? So no, it's not that you became Amish, but in Haredi society, the community in B'nai Brak who follows the Chazon Ish, they have their own private generators. They don't get electricity from a power plant on Shabbos because I'm not exactly sure how they assume power plants work. I think today our power plants are completely automated and no one is doing any malacha on Shabbos. But I guess they imagine that you have like some guy riding a bicycle and that bicycle adds an extra gasoline to the engines or something that they felt that you're really doing malacha on Shabbos. And the tradition from the Chazon Ish is you can't use the electricity on Shabbos because malacha that was done on Shabbos, you're not allowed to benefit from. And in Haredi society, you could Google this, I'm not making it up. In Haredi society, they do not use electricity on Shabbos. It seems to me that it should for sure be permitted. Because...
Wait, why is the electricity that they use on Shabbos the same one that was...
Again, well,
electricity that they use today was created today.
I think you're assuming that the electricity that I use today was created yesterday.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I think the transmission goes relatively quickly, and second of all, even if you're right, so then you should have a chumra not to use electricity on Sunday.
Sure, but I think there's nothing in storage, but otherwise there'd be a lot of power outages.
No, because the power grid is correct. That's what they promised, the correction of the power grid. There is somebody sitting there correcting the power grid when things fluctuate. More power coming from this plant, raising the amount of fuel that's being burned, raising the amount of
power. Actually, you would know this much better than I would. You're saying that there's always someone there who's correcting the power grid.
I mean, there are still people overseeing the programs to this day.
So what Jake is saying is that even to this day, there are people who oversee the program, and therefore there are malachos that are done on Shabbos in order to enable me to have electricity to keep on my lights in my apartment on Shabbos. But I don't understand the whole issue. Is it a tzorech to have electricity on Shabbos? Is it a tzorech to have your lights on Shabbos? I would say absolutely yes, no? To sit on a Shabbos in the dark, right? That's, I'd say, a greater inconvenience than not having cholent. That's a greater inconvenience than not having an essential food at the meal. So therefore, I would contend that the average Israeli who works in the power plant on Shabbos is not violating Shabbos b'mezid. Such a person is violating Shabbos b'shogeg. According to the Vilna Gaon, when I violate Shabbos b'shogeg, you're allowed to benefit from the malacha even on Shabbos. So therefore, the electricity should certainly be permitted. Jake, what's your rebuttal?
You can use this kula b'shas ha-tzorich, wouldn't that have... How can you use it then for every Shabbos, every moment of every Shabbos to be so
mechanic? I'll tell you, right? Now, as you're asking if you could only use it b'shas hatzorech, only use it when you're necessary, so it doesn't sound like you can use it all the time. But I would say that sometimes it's necessary to have electricity all the time. Because what's the alternative? I have to buy my own generator, right? First of all, there's a considerable expense, as far as I know, in purchasing my own generator. Having electricity, I think, it's a tzorech. Every Shabbos, it's necessary. Tzorech doesn't mean only a rare occurrence. Tzorech can mean something that happens all the time, but I need it. Now, the poskim, the vast majority, I remember when I studied in Israel, so I went to Karen B'Yavne, and in my days, we used to have these Shabbatonim where the students from the large three Israeli yeshivot, Keren B'Yavne, Gush, and Shalavim, would get together, right? They would do one in Keren B'Yavne, one in Gush, one in Shalavim. So we did one in the Gush. So one of my friends, haven't seen him in 25 years, one of my friends, we had a question and answer session with Rav Amital, with the Rosh Yeshiva of Har Etzion. One of my friends was in the process of becoming Haredi. So it's like a whole conversion process. You go to the mikveh three times, whatever, mikveh boiling water, and you know, it's a very difficult process. So this guy asks Rav Amital, how come the lights in your yeshiva are on? How come you don't use a generator? So I remember Rav Amital like getting upset at him. He's like, "Atam chapes chumrot, mata osa," right? Why are you looking for chumras? That's Rav Amital responded. Generally speaking, almost no one holds of this chumrah the Chazon Ish, because push comes to shove, I need power to come from the power plant on Shabbos, because there are people in the hospital who are a chol sheyesh bo sakana. So some of the electricity that is being produced is to keep people alive. And
generators.
What?
They have generators.
In the hospital, they have backup generators.
But they could use generators.
You're saying the hospital should use generators also? I don't know. I think... Yoni, I'm not going to agree with you on this one. What are you saying? You're saying that in the hospitals...
If you believe like the Chazon Ish does,
yeah.
Then like, why wouldn't you take it as an ecological step?
No, so I will tell you like this. As you're saying, if you hold like the Chazon Ish, why don't you have a generator in the hospital also? The answer is that pekuach nefesh on Shabbos, and actually this sugya comes up over here in the Rif also, right? If one cooks on Shabbos for a chola sheyesh bo sakana, right? If you're doing a malacha to save a person's life, so we assume that that is heter gomor. If it's hutra, bekoach nefesh on Shabbos is no, don't bat an eyelash. It is absolutely permitted. So then why get a generator? Since there are chola sheyesh bo sakanas in the country, so therefore the electricity from the power plant is absolutely permitted. So this question about the halacha of mevashel b'Shabbos, right? If I cook or I do any malacha on Shabbos, and you do it b'shogeg, you do it inadvertently, can you benefit from it on Shabbos? This is one of the larger questions in the modern state of Israel. I think, do any of you know anybody who does not use electricity on Shabbos in Israel? You have Haredi cousins who are so Haredi they don't use electricity on Shabbos? You should ask them. Ask them if they use electricity on Shabbos. My understanding is that it's very rare, even in Haredi society. Although, one time when I was in Israel, I spent a Shabbos with my brother-in-law, and my brother-in-law would daven in one particular yeshiva on Shabbos, because that was the only yeshiva that had an air conditioner operated by its own generator. That requires all... Okay, I mean, like, I don't exactly... Apparently, to have a generator to operate an air conditioner requires quite a powerful generator. My understanding is that it certainly is b'shogeg, and therefore the electricity is permitted. Now, whether you should rely on this on a regular basis, right, is Jake's objection. The Chazon Ish himself writes elsewhere that you can never employ kulas on a regular basis. So that might be what's behind the Haredi opposition to using electricity on Shabbos, something that you're saying, there's just doing the biography of the Chazon Ish, that he felt that you cannot use Amira L'Nochri on a regular basis. You can't set up a system when you're always asking a non-Jew to, if you live on the 20th story in an apartment building, you can't set up a situation that you're always asking a non-Jew to use the elevator for you. So that could be the background behind the Chazon Ish. Again, my understanding is that it's not accepted. Mr. Zolti.
The record like show up case, the guy after the party on Shabbos, did you make it all here for a Shlomo Zalman, potentially if there's like Bittul?
Because it's Bittul. Okay. So now the question as to whether there's Bittul, I want to talk about tomorrow, God willing, because is this a Dover Sheyesh L'Matir, which is not Bittul? Look in the Magen Avraham Se'if Chatan Beis. The Magen Avraham talks about the possibility that there is no Bittul because of Dover Sheyesh L'Matir. Okay, gentlemen, we should go and daven Mincha. God willing, tomorrow we will continue this Sugya and complete it, and then life will be grand. Okay, Chevra, have a great day. All the best.